This is We've Got Issues on Interlochen Public Radio, a weekly look at the political state we live in. Good morning. I'm David Castleman. It's back to school today for most students in public schools in Michigan. The law requires that class begin after Labor Day, although some districts do have a special waiver to start earlier. In fact, an increasing number of schools are requesting to do just that. Critics of the Labor Day rule say kids are falling behind in school because of the later start. But supporters argue the rule is good for the economy. Education reporter Emily Richmond has written a story about it all for The Atlantic, and she joins us by phone to talk. Emily, it's nice to have you on.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
How did Michigan end up with this law in the first place? What were some of the arguments in favor of it?
Well, as your listeners know and as you well know, Michigan is heavily dependent on its tourism industry, particularly in smaller towns where the summer months are critical. And a lot of families and businesses will make the bulk of their income from tourists who come to enjoy the state during the beautiful weather. So there were some concerns about school start times, taking time away from family travel, and also making it difficult for some of those businesses to staff up. A lot of high school students work at restaurants, but also people who work in schools will sometimes take summer jobs, including teachers. And the ability to have school start after Labor Day meant an uninterrupted hiring cycle for a lot of those businesses.
Do we know how the rule has affected the economy in Michigan?
Well, there has been a study done by the Anderson Economic Group, which determined that it contributed over $20 million in tourism dollars to Michigan's economy with the change. And at the same time, though, of course, the question is, at what cost? So you have to sort of balance that out with trying to figure out, was it really best for students and families? Is that $20 million bump worth it?
Well, what do opponents say about this?
One of the concerns is, from a very practical standpoint, is that it makes it difficult for families. That the longer summer months mean that there's more time that families need to find childcare because, of course, parents and parental guardians don't have the summer off the way kids do. So it's more expensive for individual families to find childcare extending into the first week in September. There are also concerns for children who may be coming from less affluent families who depend on things like school meals to get by during the week, and that can be an individual cost. On another front, of course, there's the lost learning time, which is this idea that the longer students are out of school, the more they actually forget and have to be retaught when they come back in the fall. And that's known as the summer slide. And the summer slide has been found to hurt the kids who need the learning the most, and that's underserved groups who come from those low-income families and also a lot of children of color.
What directions are other states going in?
Well, it's interesting because there are a handful of states that have similar laws. One of them is Maryland. It's brand new. It takes effect this year, and it's caused a lot of controversy. And one of the biggest issues for Maryland is the claim by their governor that it will help the economy and also help the environment by having fewer days of air conditioners running in their public schools. People aren't quite buying that argument. And you're also concerned simply about local control, that local school districts should be able to set the calendar that is best for them. It's important to note that Michigan does have a provision for that local control. Districts can apply to the state for a waiver, an exemption from this Labor Day start date, and if they can prove that they need to start earlier in order to meet other academic requirements, they are given a waiver. There's a record number of waivers that have been issued this year, well over 100 compared with about 60 last year. I asked the Michigan Department of Education if they had any idea why the waiver route had been much more popular this time around, and they're not quite sure what has triggered that, but it's definitely something to keep watching.
Why were you interested to report on this for a national publication?
Well, you know, the idea of the school calendar, it all sort of started with a conversation with someone telling me, you know, well, the kids go back to school in the fall because of the agrarian calendar, and they needed to be available to work in the fields. And that's actually pretty much an urban myth. The reason the school calendar is set up the way it was had a lot more to do with the lack of air conditioning, and more affluent families in the cities would simply take the kids out of school in the summer and take them somewhere else. It was just too hot to teach. Really didn't have as much to do with keeping kids available to work in the fields. I've been very interested for a long time in how school calendars are structured and how learning time is structured, in part because there have been a lot of attempts to try to fix it, to to extend the school day? Would kids learn better if they're in class for longer periods? Do they do better with shorter, more frequent breaks versus a long vacation? And really, the research is so mixed, it comes down to what is best for each individual school community. And that sort of circles back to this question of what Michigan is struggling with, which is that of local control.
Emily Richman is the public editor for the National Education Writers Association. She has a story in The Atlantic about why school starts after Labor Day in Michigan. Emily, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, David. It was a lot of fun.
This fall, IPR wants to hear from you. What are the crucial issues facing Northern Michigan? Are you worried about Line 5 across the Straits of Mackinac? Maybe you're wondering how local schools are doing in the face of financial problems. Whatever it is, leave us a message and tell us about it at 231-276-4441 or email us at gotissues@interlochen.org. That's 231-276-4441 or email gotissues@interlochen.org. Thanks.